Where did we come from? How have we come to be as we are in this world?
If we have false ideas about who and what we are and how we got here, then that state is just going to continue into the future. We need to understand the forces that were involved in shaping the modern world.
The Fifth Kind, brought to you in association with Gaia.com. Follow the links in the description below to unlock the entire Gaia library.
In the Museum of Guatemala, you find different gods, heads of the gods, with helmets on, sometimes with the apparatuses on their noses because they had an artificial breathing, etc.
A variety of pictures and carvings have been found all around the world, depicting what appear to be advanced flying and space-bound craft. One of the most interesting of these is the sarcophagus of King Pakal in Palenque, Mexico. Kinich Janab Pakal was one of the longest ruling kings in history, reigning from 603 to 683 of the Common Era. He was the Mayan king of Palenque in the modern-day state of Chiapas, Mexico. The lid of his sarcophagus is over 6 feet in width by 10 feet in length. It weighs several tons and depicts what appears to be a man within some type of rocket or flying capsule. Eric von Daniken suggests that this could be a diagram of a space capsule, similar to a small space shuttle and similar to the flying craft we find mentioned in many of the world's ancient texts.
In 1949, the Mexican archaeologist Professor Rutz discovered on the Temple of Inscription, but the Temple of Inscription is in reality a pyramid. He discovered a groove up on the top. And then they found a shaft, inside the shaft, a staircase going down. It went down under the pyramid. But the staircase in that time, in 1949, was filled with stone. So it took 3 years to dig out all these stones. In 1952, Professor Dr. Rutz, with his students in archaeology, they stand before a big door in the form, in the shape of a triangle. They never found a door in the shape of a triangle. The door was broken up, and Professor Rutz, with his candles in his light, looked into a room, and the first words he said, "I don't believe my eyes. I see in a sort of chapel, and from the ceiling down are hanging things like candles." In reality, it were not candles, it was stalactites and stalagmites. So the room is 7 meters long. And on the bottom, there was a big plate with 3.80 meters long, 2.20 meters large, one block, one monolith. And on this monolith, an incredible chiseling. You see something like a frame. And in the center of the frame, there is a young man sitting, bending forward, almost like a motorizing cyclist. He uses his two hands to manipulate controls. You see it clearly on the picture. And he's sitting on a chair. Directly on his nose is some kind of apparatus, maybe some oxygen apparatus. He's sitting on a chair. The heel of his left foot is on a sort of pedal. The chair is separated from the back of him. And just behind, outside the frame, you see something like a linking flame coming out of there. Now, this is optically absolutely convincing for every normal human being, but not for the groups of archaeologists. Of course, we live in a reasonable society, and our science always looks for the next reasonable answer before they go into speculation, which is normal, which makes sense. Around this stone plate, there was an inscription, and only a few words they could decipher. For example, the word Pakal. And they knew Pakal was the second last ruler of the city of Palenque. So they said, this man sitting in this frame inside, he represents Pakal. And they said, he's not sitting in a frame. The frame in reality shows the open mouth of a mythological monster. So what I look as frame, it's just the teeth of the mythological monster. And he's falling into the mouth of this mythological monster. But out of his chest, you see the living tree or the tree of life, etc. And what I explained as something like a linking flame coming out at the end. Archaeologists said, no, these are just the stylized hairs of the beard of the weather god. So this was an archaeological suggestion when they found this tombstone of Palenque in 1952. In the meantime, from 1952 until today, I have read in the scientific literature 14 different explanations what this should mean. It is always Pakal, that's for sure. Pakal, the second last ruler. And now, just a few years ago, the two leading epigraphers are the professors who are able to read the Maya language, are Professor Dr. John Stewart and Stewart, because he's the father and the son, Stewart and Stewart. And they know everything now in Maya graphics, in Maya writing. And they say, yes, it is Pakal. But Pakal is not falling into the open mouth of a mythological monster. He has nothing to do with cross of life or tree of life. Every little thing which is chiseled in the stone has to do with the universe. Pakal is in fact leaving the earth, flying out to the universe. The tombstone of Palenque is still there in the original pyramid because it's too big, they cannot put it out. Normally, pyramids were not tombs, but the so-called Temple of Inscription in Palenque, which is a pyramid, was in fact a tomb. Under this tombstone, there was a grave. They found a skeleton and a mask. It's probably Pakal. Pakal, the second last ruler of Palenque. But what we do not understand, the normal Maya, their size was about 1.50 meters to 1.60 meters. And that skeleton in there of Pakal is 1.81 meters. He's too big for a Maya. You know, 1.81 meters is not Maya-like. And also his nose is not human because the bone of his nose starts already on his front. Up there. So we say it's Pakal, but nobody is sure if it's Pakal. Now concerning the stalactites and stalagmites, you know, soon as a pyramid is somehow broken and the rain goes into the pyramid, some stalactites and stalagmites start to form. But this takes an eternity. They found 7 meter long stalactites and stalagmites in this room, which is situated under the pyramid. Don't forget this. Because of the stalactites, you could measure or calculate how old is this room. It does not fit to the Maya. The Maya is a relatively young society, and Palenque is more or less about 800 AD, so after Christ. It's not very old. Others say even younger. They say 1400 after Christ. But it does not fit together with the stalactites and stalagmite. First, we had this tomb in the down in the earth. This tomb was covered by this large tombstone with the chiseling of Pakal. And later, only on, they started to construct the pyramid over the tomb. The tomb is much older than the pyramid itself. I believe that first there was a tomb. Tomb down with the holy figure, one of the gods, or a mixture of the gods, or an imitation of the gods. And they chiseled this into this gigantic tombstone. And this was there, a holy place for the Maya, or the people who lived before the Maya, for thousands of years. And only later, because it was a holy place, now they started to construct a pyramid, the so-called Temple of Inscription, over the old tomb. So in my suggestion, the tomb is probably 5,000 years old because of the stalactites and stalagmites. And the temple itself, the Temple of Inscription, is young, let's say maybe 1,500 years old. Every Maya city, be it Tikal, be it Chichen Itza, it doesn't matter. They show the descending gods. All these Maya cities are dedicated to the gods, and the gods were the teacher from heaven. They worshipped them, and they always waited for the return of the gods, because the gods promised, we will return one day.
Some archaeologists have interpreted the carving as representing the king's descent into the bearded jaws of the underworld. Could it simply be a mythological representation of the king's journey to the afterlife? University professor the late Linda Scheele was a world-leading authority in Mayan iconography and epigraphy. Her study of the sarcophagus recognized the motifs surrounding Pakal as representing the features of the Milky Way. Could it be that Pakal's capsule was not on a journey to or from the underworld? It was traveling through space.
The Mayas, of course, have their mythologies about the gods, the visitors from outer space. The oldest Mayan city, to our knowledge, is Tikal. Tikal is in today's Guatemala. And Tikal was probably founded 1,000 years BC. Just remember, ancient Rome in Europe was founded 700 BC. So this Tikal city of the Maya is even older than ancient Rome in Europe. And Tikal lays on a place where nobody understands why. You see, when a tribe is traveling and when they decide to construct a city with some pyramids and temples, they always settle on a place where is water. Because humans need water. Water for drinking, water for working, water for their construction, etc. But in Tikal, there is no water. Absolutely. No river, no creek, nothing. The next water is a lake, the Petenitsa Sea, about 40 kilometers away. So the question first is, why did the tribe of Maya decide to settle down on a place and to construct their biggest and oldest city on a place without water? What is the reason for it? And here I have some idea. In our time, we have many so-called pilgrim places, especially in the Catholic religion. For example, Fatima in Portugal, or Lourdes in France, or Guadalupe in Mexico. These are holy places. Why? Because always someone from out there, mostly Mother Mary, descended. And children said, they were here. I saw them here, exactly here. So the place becomes a holy place, and the people decide to make their construction, their church, on that place where they had their vision. Now in Tikal, archaeologists found a little inscription in Maya language. It says, here the gods from heaven descended. Which gods? So I asked myself, was it like today on our pilgrim places? They constructed Tikal because there, sometime, a god descended. Now, because they had no water. I said, the nearest water is the Lake Petén, 40 kilometers away. So they had to make water, artificial water drains. So the water come to Tikal. In Tikal, we have more than 60 pyramids. Most of them are orientated archaeologically. The biggest pyramid still today is open for tourism. You can look up there to the sky, and we don't know what for these pyramids were. Normally we say, for example, in Egypt, the pyramids were made because they were tombs for the gods or for the pharaohs, but not in Tikal. No tombs were found, no graves, nothing. So we don't understand. You say maybe they used to construct high pyramids just to overlook the forest, you know, the jungle, that they can be connected with the stars. But why then so many pyramids, 60 of it, in one place? Why not only two or three? We don't have the answer for it. In Tikal, for example, we have many steles. Steles are stone blocks, mostly about 2.5 meters high, with engravings and chiselings on it. And one of these stelings shows the first and the oldest god. You see some human being, the head is cut off. You don't see the head, but you see the chest, two hands, and he's holding something between his fingers. And then you see his legs and his shoes. Normally the Mayas had no shoes at all. They had naked feet or sandals. But this kind of shoes look like the shoes of an extraterrestrial. And in the center you see something going down like a spiral, making a curve, going into a basket or into a box. So probably they represented in that way the oldest god who descended to them in Tikal. One of the next city of Tikal is Tulum. Tulum is located on the Caribbean Sea. And the city of Tulum was just honored to the descending gods. Every temple in Tulum shows a descending god, which means in practice, you see a stone, you see something, some human beings, the head in front, then their legs, spread legs, they are lying on something like a bobsled. They are descending from the heaven. Today, archaeologists call these descending gods the gods of the bees. But every normal being, he had nothing to do with bees. Especially, the whole city of Tulum is dedicated to descending gods. And you see these figures who came down from heaven, often with wings on, with technological stuff in their hand. You see them only also in Chichen Itza and in other Maya places. Whole Maya land was dedicated to the god. One of the most known god of the Maya was Quetzalcoatl. And Quetzalcoatl was described, he was coming from the morning star. He taught the human. He taught them in astronomy and other belongings, including construction of buildings. And before he left, Kukulcan promised to return one day. Now, Kukulcan, Quetzalcoatl, is all the same figure, just with different names. You know, in the lower land, the Mayas called him Kukulcan. In the higher land, they called him Quetzalcoatl. It's always the same figure. Our archaeologists today, because they don't believe in extraterrestrials, they don't want to have to do with some humans or human-like figures descending as teachers from heaven, they call these descending gods the bees. But in reality, a bee is an insect. The gods which are chiseled in stone in Tulum, in Chichen Itza, have nothing to do with bees. And you see descending human-like beings with some kind of technical apparatus in their hands. But archaeologists call it the descending bees, which in my opinion is absolutely ridiculous. It had nothing to do with bees. Our archaeologists will have to change their mind sooner or later. I know the old mythologists, and many of the mythologies speak about the gods who descended, and they did not breed like humans. For example, Abraham, in the Abraham Apocryphic, he makes a contact with two extraterrestrials, and he say, they did not breed like humans. Now in Tikal, we find some of these heads. Not only in Tikal, also in Chichen Itza. And they had some artificial breeding apparatuses before their nose. I think they must have used some kind of filter against our bacteria and virus on our planet. The Maya adored the gods Quetzalcoatl or Kukulcan, which is the same, just a different name. And Quetzalcoatl or Kukulcan was always represented as a snake with wings. Now, the Maya were natural people. They knew that the snake cannot fly. Why do they show a snake with wings? I suggest because they saw on the sky, they saw some flying machines, and they looked like a snake. It was a little long, and a snake can fly, so they put wings on it. That's why Quetzalcoatl the god, or Kukulcan the god, is represented in the Maya temple in the sculpture as a winged snake.
What if these ancient narratives contain less metaphor and more memory than we may have presumed? How would you explain a modern aircraft or a Saturn V rocket to a prehistoric human who has never seen one before? What metaphor would you evoke to make sense of it? A large bird? A bright cloud in the sky? A fiery chariot? A comet? A fire-breathing dragon? Metaphor has to be invoked to make unknown phenomena relatable to the culture of the hearer. So it is easy to see how ambiguities might arise.
Our ancestors, including the Maya in Central America, their first religion was natural religions. They were afraid of the nature, of the lightning, of the thundering, of the earthquake, of the volcanic eruptions, etc. But then the gods descended. In Maya land, Quetzalcoatl or Kukulcan, represented as a winged god. Where is the difference between Quetzalcoatl, Kukulcan, the winged god, and the natural catastrophes, like the earthquake, the lightning coming down? They were teachers. The gods who descended from the sky, they learned the Maya about their calendar. The Maya have a fantastic calendar, one of the most fantastic calendars in the world, and it all is related to the gods. You see, every culture has a calendar, and every calendar has a starting date. For example, we live in the Christian culture, our starting date is the birth of Jesus Christ. But the Muslim society has another calendar, and the Muslim calendar starts when the Prophet Muhammad went to Mecca, about 700 AD. So the Jewish tradition has another calendar, and the starting point of the calendar must always be something important for the culture. The Jewish calendar started about 5300 BC, and the reason was it was the creating of the world, of our planet. Now the Maya also had a special calendar, and the Maya calendar started 3114 BC. At that time, the Mayas, according to archaeology, did not even exist. So they must have taken their starting date from their ancestor, whoever it was. Now, what has it to do with the gods? Why did the Maya start their calendar on August 14, 3114 BC? Why? Later, about 450 years ago, the Spanish conquerors come to Central America. The Spanish conquerors found hundreds and hundreds of Maya writings. They destroyed them all. They killed the high priest. They even killed the students. They destroyed all the writings of the Maya, except three. Three high Maya writings survived. They are today in Dresden. Dresden is a city in Germany. They are today in Madrid and in Paris. Now, we are not even able to read these Maya writings, but the Dresden Codex, so that's how it is called, speaks about the Maya calendar, and we can read the figures. Definitely we can read them. And in the Dresden Codex, we learned that the Maya calendar started on August 14th, 3114 BC. Now, all these writings have been destroyed. Just imagine we would have a war in our days and an adversary would destroy all the Bibles. But the priest, the Christian priest, they know what's written in the Bible. They know it in their head. So they start to rewrite the Bible. The same thing happened in Central America. After the destruction of all these writings, the priests sat down in secret places and they rewrote the old stories. These are so-called the Mexican handwritings, or the Chilambalam books, they are called. And there, in the fifth Chilambalam book, one of the priests explains why they started their calendar on August 14, 3114 BC. Because this was the day when the gods from heaven descended. That was the important moment for the beginning of the Maya calendar. The Maya calendar has, in fact, an ending date. And the ending date was calculated some years ago for the year 2012, transferred into our calendar. And they said that that day, the world will disappear, the world will collapse. In fact, nowhere, in no one Maya handwriting, it is written that the world will collapse or on the end of the Maya date. It's not true. But what, in fact, they say is true, on that day, the gods will return from heaven to earth again. Now the year 2012 passed by and there were no extraterrestrials returning. So where is the mistake? The problem is to translate the Maya calendar into our Christian calendar. You see, we say today, 2017 years ago, Jesus Christ was born. And there we started our calendar. But in reality, this is not true. Jesus Christ may have been born 20 years earlier or later. We don't know the exact date of the birth of Jesus Christ. We just fixed a date, which is not correct. So when we translate the Maya calendar into a Christian calendar, we still have this problem of translating the dates. So the Maya calendar ends and says, then the gods will return. This might be every day, practically today, tomorrow, or in the next 15 years.
Thank you for watching The Fifth Kind in association with Gaia.com. Follow the links to unlock the entire Gaia library.
Where did we come from? How have we come to be as we are in this world?
If we have false ideas about who and what we are and how we got here, then that state is just going to continue into the future. We need to understand the forces that were involved in shaping the modern world.
95% is still under dirt. And what could this have been built for?
The greatest trick the devil ever played was to convince the world that he is God. In other words, from the Gnostic point of view, isn't God at all.
Is that just mythology? Or are there any physical links?
This case is going to be huge, massive, something that is totally different, something that we've not encountered before.
The mission was to lead us to the revelation that would help us to understand the true nature of things. Not the illusory nature that's been created to hoodwink all of us, but the real, true nature of things.
Gaia offers a platform for awakening to new truths and new ways of being, where world-renowned thought leaders reimagine reality.
This is physics, not just spiritual philosophy.
And our history.
Something is at work to allow these ancient ideas to come back into the world.
Featuring over 8,000 original episodes, films, and documentaries, unlike anything in the mainstream.
It's time now to bring it forward.
Don't buy into the fear. It's about waking up.
All on an ad-free platform designed to empower the evolution of consciousness. Only on Gaia.